Jayadeva Goswami, he lived 1,100 years ago, way before Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya propagated the idea of Radhadasyam, the service of Radharani. Everywhere, all the Vaishnavas, Sri Sampradaya, all the Sampradayas, they propagate the worship of Krishna and Dasyaras, Shantaras, Dasyaras. And there wasn't much understanding of Radharani. Madhvacharya, Madhva Sampradaya, they believe that Radharani is an apsara. They don't believe that she's Nija Shakti Rupataya, that she's actually Krishna's own Shakti, manifestation of Ladini Shakti. They don't have that idea. They don't really accept that. They say, that was some apsara that came down when Krishna was a teenager or something. Nothing serious. They don't consider that Lakshmi Devi, whom they worship, Lakshmi Narayan or Sita Devi, or Lakshmi and Vishnu, they don't consider that those devis or those shaktis are actually expansions of Radharani. She's the original Shakti, Adi Shakti. But in Puranas, the six Goswamis and the followers of Lord Chaitanya, following his indication, they revealed by various Puranic research, Nana Shastra Vicharanaikano, Sadharma Samstapako, they showed how Radharani is, what her actual identity is. That she is the first expansion of Krishna, and she is the actual repository and reservoir of all Krishna's Shakti, Sarva Shakti Mayi. You can read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila Chapter 4. It gives a very clear idea about the identity of Radharani, and how she is the source of the Lakshmis, and she's the source of the Dwarka queens, and then the Lakshmis, and then even the Devis and the heavenly planets, they're ultimately expansions of Radharani to serve those demigods. Jayadeva Goswami, he took it one step further. Not only the existence and presence and significance of Srimati Radharani did he indicate in his Gita Govinda, but he even indicated the supreme position of Radharani, because everywhere, all Vaishnavas, they teach that God is supreme, he is the Parameshvara, he is the creator, he should be worshipped by everyone. Everyone is subservient to him. He's the original master, and we're all his servants. And pretty much the picture, the depiction of Godhead, or Bhagavan, that he's receiving service from everyone, from all of his unlimited millions of servitors, in Vaikuntha or here, the religious, pious Vaishnavas. Jayadeva Goswami said, actually, the fact is that Bhagavan himself, he also serves someone. It's a very new concept. That the boss, everyone's serving the boss, everyone's serving the big man. He has butlers and cooks and chauffeurs and cleaners and washers and so many things. But then someone says, do you know that the CEO is actually washing the clothes of his chokidar? Huh? CEO? Chief Executive Officer, big guy, no? MD? That the owner of the company, he actually washes the clothes of his chokidar. That's unheard of. Impossible to conceive of how he's such a big master lord Karpati. He takes a humble servant, one of his many hundreds of servants in his palace or his kingly palace. So Radharani, in relation to Krishna, she's one of those many thousands of gopis, Sahasra, Lakshmi, so many serving him. But he actually, in this case, Radharani's love is so deep and so supreme, and her dedication and service is so wonderful, that Krishna becomes attracted, and he wants to serve Radharani. It's called Radhadasyam. Krishna wants to serve Radharani. And Jayadeva Goswami, he's the first one that revealed this. It was almost a foreshadowing or an indication of the future avatar of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago. Jayadeva came as a harbinger of the future. He came 1,100 years ago, 600 years before Mahaprabhu. He said, listen, actually Krishna worships Radharani. Sometimes Radharani's unhappy. That's like, for example, they have a husband and wife, they have some argument. And the husband's usually in the feeling he's in supreme position or control or whatever. But then the wife gets unhappy. So then he may become a little humble, a little soft, and render some humble service that he wouldn't ordinarily do. Give her a gift, give her some box of sweets or this, that, the other thing. And maybe even press her feet. It's unimaginable, but if she's really in a huff and she's really in a contrary mood, he may say, oh, you know, or just maybe your arm, or say, oh, please, you know, cool down, you know, I love you so much, this, that, or something, where he ordinarily wouldn't, he would come home from work and say, oh, my feet are tired, rub my feet, or rub my back, and this, that. Generally, this is, let's say, quote-unquote, traditional Indian arrangement. Now it's something different. But now we hear that Krishna, sometimes when Radharani's in man, she's in contrary mood. She's feeling, what is this Krishna? He's running, he said he would meet me, but he's late, and he went with some other gopi. So I'm in a contrary mood. I don't want to meet him. I'm sulking. It's called love sulk. I'm pouting. So then Krishna, he becomes very, very humble. He goes to such an extent that he begs Radharani, he said, listen, let me, you know, keep your feet on my head. So Jayadeva wrote about that. It's quite an amazing pastime. There is other. He had many pastimes with his deities, and there's one here. It's recorded in a book called Bhaktamal, which was written by around the 15th century or so, by Nabadas. He said, one hot summer day, Jayadeva was repairing the roof of his kutir. Madhava, Krishna, took pity on Jayadeva, because it was a very hot summer day. The sun was up on the roof, you can imagine. It's already hot. And if you're up on some tin roof or whatever they had over there in Orissa, those kind of roofs, and he was up there fixing it. And Madhava took pity on Jayadeva, and to relieve his distress, he was personally handing him the roof material. Because he was in the sun, he was bending down, he was grabbing these pieces of roofing material and putting it on the roof. And all of a sudden he didn't even notice that someone was actually handing it to him. He was, okay, thank you. And then he said, wait a minute, wasn't it? and he was thinking, because he was just saying, they were just handing up the material, take this. So he was thinking that his wife had come out of the house, because she was inside, and she had come out of the house to help him. He was just thinking his wife. Then when he climbed down from the roof and he looked around, he didn't see anyone. His wife wasn't in the house. And then he was thinking, oh, he sat down, who was that? I don't see anyone. A minute ago I was just... Then he realized that it was his merciful Lord Madhav that actually came out of the temple in his house, out of the altar, and came to help him fix the roof of the temple and the roof of the house. Sri Radha Madhav ki, Jai Dev Goswami ki. So there's so many nice things. Jai Dev, of course, this Gita Govinda is most famous. The king of Puri, Gajapati Raj of Puri, he heard Jayadeva Goswami singing the Gita Govinda for another king that he was working for, Jayadeva. He says, he's very, very nice. Can you? And then he had him come and sing. Can you sing this for Jagannath? And the king liked it so much, he made an order. He said, this should be sung every evening in the temple. And there's one dress that Jagannath Swami wears at night, every night. It's called Bhara Sringhar Vesh. Sringhar means all decked out, really dressed up, decked out. Sringhar, Bhara means big, big dress, big dressing. And this is called his Vrindavan Vesh. During the day, he sometimes dresses as different avatars, Jagannath Swami and Puri, and generally in a very stately way, royal way. But at night, every night, at 11 o'clock, or 1 o'clock, actually it's quite late, I think it's 1 o'clock, you were all there, the last darshan is at 1 a.m. or something like this. It's quite a late party goer or whatever. Jagannath Puri takes rest around 2 o'clock in the morning. So he's really like happening, he's a real Kali Yuga god. He's really right with the Tamagunis, you know. What is night for all men is a time of awakening for Jagannath and everybody else. So all the Tamagunis are waking up at 11 o'clock and he says, all right, I'm here, let's go, come on. So then at 1 o'clock he's finally slowing down, and then they dress him in what is called the Vrindavan Vesh. They dress Jagannath Swami as if he's going off to Ras Lila. And it's all natural things. They make these long malas. I think the mala is 24 feet long or something. And they wrap it just continuous flowers, you know, 24 feet, one string. How you say in meters, you know, meters. That means 8 meters, 8 meter long mala of bela flowers, gulam jui, chameli. And then they put it around his head, and they make a pagri, a cloth, put that mala there, then all kinds of malas. And then he has tulsi, they make a nose thing hanging down out of flowers, like a tilak out of flowers, make flower earrings and bracelets, a very wonderful vesh. Maybe you saw it when you were there in Puri, I don't know. And then that cloth, that turban that he's wearing on his head, that cloth that he's wearing, all the shlokas of Gita Govinda are written on that. Srita Kamala Kucha Mandalahe and all this, what we sang, that's all these shlokas from Gita Govinda, these Sanskrit shlokas are written on his turban. So he can be, you know, sweet dreams. He can dream about this, his Radharani. So this is how much Jayadev Goswami has been appreciated and incorporated into the Jagannath cult, or the worship of Jagannath Swami in Puri. You can imagine traditions going on for 1100 years. In Orissa. So this Radha Madhav, he's come here to take shelter of these saintly kings, these various kings of Rajasthan. It's amazing. The other name for this Jaipur is Gupta Vrindavan. I remember, I don't know, maybe 1980 was the first time I came to Jaipur. I came to India in 77, but I didn't come here. In 1980 we came, and then there was many, many peacocks. It was a much smaller city in 1980 than it is now, like really small. I think there was maybe 1 million people, now there's 6 million, something like that. It's quite packed up. And everywhere you would hear peacocks, lots of peacocks. And I did some different home programs. There's a lot of big, like wealthy people's houses, and they have big yards, and the trees are, I said, wow. I said, Maharaj, this is Gupta Vrindavan. We have Govindaji here. We had Madan Mohan here. They had Madan Mohan was here, Govindaji and Gopinath. And then the Prince of Karoli, he was betrothed to the Princess of Jayapur. But the Princess of Jayapur, she was a Vaishnavi and a worshiper of Radha Madan Mohan, who were living here. And she said, listen, I'm not going to Karoli unless I take Madan Mohan with me. And so then her father had already built a nice temple for Madan Mohan. He told the bride or groom to be, that prince, he said, listen, your father has to build a nice temple. So he built a huge, beautiful temple for Madan Mohan. So the Jaipur king, he gave his daughter and he gave Madan Mohan. So he donated some Bandagyan. He gave some Bandagyan to the Karoli, which means the relationship. But he kept Gopinath and Govindaji, and Madhav, and Vinod, and Damodar. So he kept some good storehouse. He gave, okay, you take one necklace. I have 50 more. You take one small one. This is a very wonderful place, this Gupta Vrindavan. A little bit about Jayadeva Goswami. Maybe we have in here something also. He was the court pundit for the King of Bengal, Sri Lakshman Sen. And he and his wife, Padmavati, used to worship Krishna with single-minded devotion. After some time, he left the opulent royal life to live peacefully in a grass hut in Champahati, which is Navadvip. There's a Gorgadadhar temple there in Champahati, very beautiful. And that is where he wrote the Gita Govinda. Actually, he wrote in Navadvip in Champahati. And then there's some story about that and this and that. Gita Govinda expresses the intense feelings of separation that Radhika felt before the Rasa dance. It describes the most intimate pastimes of Radha Shamsundar. During Lord Chaitanya's Gambhir Leela in Jagannath Puri, he would thoroughly relish hearing the Gita Govinda sung daily by Surup Damodar and Mukunda. The author Jayadeva Goswami himself describes the Gita Govinda. In one sense, it may sound proud. He's proud, but actually the whole work was inspired, so he's actually glorifying Govinda, or Madhav. He says, Jayadev, whatever is delightful in varieties of music, whatever is graceful in fine strains of poetry, and whatever is exquisite in the sweet art of love, let the happy and wise learn from the songs of Jayadev. So if you study Gita Govinda, you can learn about the most beautiful poetry and music and the most beautiful love story. Of course, it's quite up there, intimate type of story. After finishing Gita Govinda, Jayadev visited Vrindavan and then lived his last days in Jagannath Puri. And there's a little story about the Gita Govinda. It's very, very popular in Orissa. You must have heard so many people singing this. Srita Kamala Kucha Mandala. So Malini, one lady gardener, okay? One female flower picker. So she was, what was she doing? What was she doing? That's what you would think, but she wasn't. You would think she's a flower picker, she was picking flowers. And she was. You're right. But what else was she doing? She was singing. Srita Kamala Kucha Mandalahe, Drita Mandalahe. And it was so sweet. Very, very sweet. Jagannath Swami heard in the temple. Oh, such sweet singing by such a beautiful young girl. He became attracted. So then he left. He left the temple and he went searching for that lady. And he found that she was in Jagannath Vallabha garden, which is his garden. It's his beloved garden, Jagannath Vallabha. Jagannath Vallabha Bagicha. It's called Jagannath Vallabha garden. So he was so compelled and attracted to that beautiful sweet sound, only about him, just glorifying him and his devotees, especially Radharani and the gopis. He came there and he was following. That girl was wandering, picking flowers here and there. And so he was following in a little bit hidden way so he can listen to the beautiful singing. And in the course he was getting some scratches with some thorns were cutting his clothes and this and that. He was having some difficulty. So when he came back to the altar, and then because it was during lunchtime when they closed the doors and the pujaris go home, like 12 to 4. So when the pujaris opened the door, they said, "Oh, your clothing is all scratched. It's all scratched. And what is this? You know, it's all torn and things like this. How is this possible?" And then they were wondering, how is it Jagannath? Somebody came up and ripped up his clothes or something? He got in a fight with his Lakshmi or his wife? Or what? They're a little more civilized. So then in a dream, Jagannath told the king the mystery. He said, "Actually, Gajapati Raj, you see, yesterday, your Jagannath Swami, me, I went to the bagicha, and I was following this Mali, this Malini, this flower lady, and she was singing this Gita Govinda so sweetly that I was following, and I got my clothes all ripped by the sticker bushes and thorns and whatnot." And then the king was amazed. Then he called for that lady, that Malini. He said, "Listen, you should come every day and sing Gita Govinda for the pleasure of Jagannath. Jagannath Swami ki! Jai! Gita Govinda ki! Jai Dev Goswami ki! Jai!"